Recording channel now connected. You may proceed.
All right, great. Thank you. One moment.
Daniel, for the record speaking. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to connect. In case I get connectivity, that's when I'll be able to log in.
Okay, one moment, please. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all. Welcome to the NextGen RDS-PDP Working Group call on the 28th of February, 2017. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call, as we have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, it's Beth Allegretti. I'm only on audio.
All right. Thanks, Beth. We will note that. And as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Also, please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the call back over to Mr. Michaeli Nalin.
Thank you. Michaeli, for the record, who's not used to being referred to as Mr. Michaeli Nalin, but we'll take it anyway. Thank you. Okay, then. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, Chuck is not with us this week, so you have the misfortune of having me as your chair for today. But I will try to get other people to do most of the talking so you don't have to listen to me too much. As per usual, are there any changes to people's statements of interests and conflicts of interest and all that? Anybody got any changes? Going once? Going twice? Okay, then, I'll assume that nobody does. If you do need to make any changes to your SOIs, you can do so directly online yourselves, or if you need assistance, the GNSO secretariat staff will be very happy to help you, or at least point you in the right direction. Okay, so the agenda for today's meeting was circulated in advance and is up in the Adobe Connect room. So we have a few items that are in relation to Copenhagen specifically, which we need to deal with probably in the first instance, and then we're going to go back into things that are more to do with the overall movement and direction of this group. Okay, then. So one of the things that will be happening during the Copenhagen meeting is that quite a few data protection officials, commissioners, and others with expertise in the area will be in attendance at the meeting. So Susan, working with a couple of other people, has done some wonderful work on drafting, refining a few questions. And if somebody is not speaking, could you please make sure you're on mute, because otherwise we get massive echoes. So Susan, along with a couple of people, has done some wonderful work on drafting a list of questions to pose to some of these data protection of our people. The idea behind this being that as they will be in attendance and as they do have the expertise in the subject area, that we should leverage that when the opportunity presents itself. Susan, can I hand this over to you then so you can walk us through briefly where we're at with this?
Sure. And is it possible to get the document of all the questions up on the screen? So a sub-team was created, as you all know, with Theo, Tajabi, Brian, Vicky, Stefania, Natalie, and Stephanie to create and draft questions for the data commissioner panel. And amazingly, you know, everyone came through. We have quite a list of questions, many more than we could possibly ask. And so and with Lisa's and Chuck's input, we went through the questions yesterday, Lisa and I, and categorized them, sort of put them by topic into one document. And I don't know if you all have scroll capability, but you can see all the questions and the topic areas. There was a few that we sort of parked for further consideration, but we have plenty of questions to draw on, but we only need to submit 10 to 12. So we are looking to the rest of the working group to review the document. We'll get this sent out to you this morning and tell us which of these questions you think should have priority and we should submit. We can always use the rest of the questions in our session with the data commissioners. I think that's Wednesday. I could be confused. And but we need to narrow this list down and use the most concentrated questions. So once we send this out to you, we'll have till Friday morning for receiving input. And then once we see everyone's preferences, we'll just try to group them by sort of who's said what, you know, in the email thread and expressed interest in the top 10 to 12 questions and put that list together to submit to the data commissioners ahead of time, along with a short overview of what exactly it is that we're working on, just to make sure they have the key background points for this work and the questions. So that's about it. Any questions from the working group?
This is Michaeli. It's not a question, just an actual comment, and then I'll pass over to Alex. As Susan said, we, on the leadership team, we went through a lot of this yesterday in our call, and a couple of things that we wanted to make sure we took on board, which is where some of these edits come from, nothing nefarious. First off, an overarching question is, you know, would the answer to the question help with the working group's deliberations? We have to make sure that whatever we're dealing with, we're not asking questions just for the sake of them, but any questions we're asking can help us in the work we're meant to be doing. The other thing as well, which I think it came from Tajabi, but also we agreed as well, is that assuming that anybody will understand who is RDS, PDP, and all these other ICANN terms and all that kind of thing, is a dangerous assumption, so we need to avoid overly technical terminology where possible and, you know, lay things out in clear, simple terms. So that's where some of this came from, just in case anybody's wondering. Alex, over to you.
Thanks. Does anyone hear me okay?
Yes. A little bit faint.
I'm just curious, is it safe to assume questions from us are one of many questions that may be submitted from other groups and SOs and ACs, or are these questions the only questions that will be submitted formally to the commissioners before the panel? Thank you.
So for the data commissioners panel, the former high interest topic, I can't remember what they're calling that now, I would assume that these would not be the only questions. But we wanted to prepare questions to submit to them just in case we, you know, they do have the opportunity to answer. But these questions will also be used in our Wednesday working session with some of the data commissioners. So, Stephanie?
Thanks, Susan. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I see Peter Kimpian is not on the call. I understand there are other questions that they are generating for the commissioners, probably for that big public interest, whatever it's called now, panel. So it's a lot of questions that they will be trying to find the answers for in the next week. So we should probably try and keep it, you know, as close to what we need as possible, because I gather they've already got a few for that other big panel. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Any other questions?
Lisa.
Thanks. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. Just in follow-up to what Stephanie just said, we believe that some of these questions that this working group generated might be addressed in that cross-community session on Monday, but of course there will be many questions from many groups during that cross-community panel. The idea then would be in our follow-up session on Wednesday, which will just be with our working group, that we make sure we hit any questions on this list that weren't covered on Monday that we feel are really of particular importance to our work. So in terms of reviewing this draft list of questions, any feedback that this working group can provide about which questions may be of most importance probably would help us in organizing that Wednesday session.
Thanks, Lisa. Is that an old hand or a new hand, Stephanie?
Stephanie Perrin, it's actually a new hand. I should have mentioned that the eight questions that I had generated, I originally generated as sample questions for Peter just to get him some idea of anticipated questions that I thought people might raise in before we even had the panels down. So obviously, I was concerned about what would be useful for our group in particular, but they would go either place. So, I mean, I think that we will probably want to do follow-ups from that panel because there's so little time on that main panel. Some of the questions, so for instance, there's a bit of concern about the transfer of data subsequent to the sick who is. I don't think the commissioners really even understand sick who is and what's happening with the data with respect to registrars versus registries versus who is. So that's kind of a deeper follow-up question that we might want to talk about if we want to get down to that level, if it's answered in the first panel. So I don't know how you kind of do this on the fly if we are indeed on Wednesday and a lot of this stuff will be discussed on Monday. We may have to recluster. Thanks.
I agree, but if we have a very focused list of questions to start, you know, coming from the working group, generated by the subteam, but and then prioritized by the working group, I think that will put us in a good place for making some decisions on what has or has not been answered in the Monday panel, and then. Just create a new document for the Wednesday panel on the fly to make sure that they are, you know, they know what we're going to be asking on Wednesday and be able to immediately get into that discussion. It is in a very long time period. As Lisa's noted in the chat, it's an hour and 15, so we're going to have to think fast and talk fast probably. And if there's no other questions, I'm going to hand this back to you, Michele.
Thank you, Susan. Michele for the record. Just before we proceed further with this, just as a personal note, this is a good opportunity for us to ask questions of people who have the expertise. They don't come to ICANN meetings much. God only knows when they'll come back again, if ever. So let's try to make the most of this opportunity that's presenting itself. Okay, then. And also, as well, just another note on this, that if you look in the chat, Lisa put in a list of, excuse me, of people who have been invited to come. And I believe Peter Kimpion is looking after issuing a formal invite to the lady from Interpol, Ms. Gomans. I don't actually know how to pronounce that, as they would need a formal kind of letter of invite. I'm not sure there's anything else we need to add on that particular topic. Anybody have any questions or anything else, or should we move on? Please remember, You've got until the end of this week to get your feedback and input on this into us, and because we have to get the questions and everything over to them as quickly as possible. Okay, then. Moving on to the next item on the agenda. The question 2.3, continuing deliberation on the purpose charter question. So question 2.3, what should the overarching purpose be of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration thin data? So we sent out another one of those polls there last week, and we had a number of people who replied. They're up on the screen there. And I believe, was this, Lisa, was this circulated to the working group as well, or not?
This is on the meeting materials page. When we sent out the agenda, this had been posted on meeting materials.
Okay, perfect.
It is available there.
Perfect, thank you. Sorry. Okay, then. So, since we've gone through, there's a number of people who have replied to this. The overall participation this time round, we had about 25 people, 26 people who responded. So the question, the key question number two, should consistency with ICANN's mission be a goal for each RDS purpose? And most of those of you who replied to this seem to think that there should be an alignment there. Does anybody have any other thoughts? I mean, do we want to go through these individually, or do we want to move on? Any comments, any thoughts? Okay. So third question then was, should consistency with other consensus policies that pertain to GTLDs be a goal for each RDS purpose? Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Michele. Mark Anderson for the record. Sorry, I'm back on the previous one. I'm looking at one of the, I guess it's response number four. The person that responded, stated that he or she tried to find a current copy of ICANN's mission statement, blah, blah, blah. On the previous week's call, the leadership team had put together a really good summary of the relevant portions of ICANN's mission statement and the portions of the charter that applied, to our effort. I thought that was really good and seems to address this person's question. So maybe that could be, I guess Lisa's linking to that. I think I just thought that was really good and worth noting and calling out here. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very helpful, and thank you, Lisa, for providing the link to us. Vicki, please go ahead.
Thank you. It's Vicki Scheckler for the record, and I apologize. I've missed the past couple of meetings, and I haven't read the mission either, so apologize in advance. But to the extent there are concerns about using the WHOIS information for civil enforcement or criminal enforcement, I think we need to address that. It's been a historical way that the stuff's been used for a long time, and people will argue about whether or not that use is within the ICANN mission one way or the other. So, again, I apologize for not having been on the past couple of calls, but I just want to make sure that there isn't an issue there with the idea of using this data for enforcement purposes.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts or comments, reactions? Jim, go ahead.
So thank you, Michele, Jim Galvin, for the record. I want to be careful you know, because this working group is carefully stepping through the various elements of purposes, I think the question that was just asked, you know, kind of broad and asking for a lot of a fairly broad conclusion. I think in general, it's safe to say that, at least from my point of view, yes, we want to support, you know, law enforcement efforts and security purposes. But we have not, as a group, really fully deliberated on that particular question. So I guess maybe it's a question to you as the chair here. I just want to confirm that, you know, a general question was asked. You might get a few interesting opinions, but we haven't established consensus on that point yet at all, correct? Thank you.
I think that Kaylee has stepped away for a bit. Alan, would you like to make a comment?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not sure the question is within our scope. What is admissible in law enforcement basically depends on the law and whether things gathered, information gathered in some ways or information that is found in different ways may or may not be admissible evidence. I don't think we can stop information that we are making available from being used by law enforcement, regardless of what our intent was in making it available. So maybe I'm missing a point here, but I don't think that's within our domain to decide.
Thanks, Alan. Theo?
Thanks, Miguel. And just a deal for the record. So I think actually there's an underlying question there, and that is the question of what is actually going to be in RDS, and we are not at that point yet, and people are getting sort of uneasy on to wrap their heads around this amazingly complex thing that we are building, and I think it's a little bit natural to start ask questions like, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? But we are not at that point yet. So that's my take on it. Thanks.
Thanks, Theo. Vicki and then Stephanie.
It's Vicki Scheffler. Thanks, and I apologize. The question was probably phrased inartfully. I want to make sure that we're not foreclosing that possibility by saying we want to be consistent with the mission and then having a fight about how you interpret the mission. And from what I've heard from the people that have spoken so far, it sounds like we're not foreclosing anything at this point. I just wanted to make sure that was true. So thank you.
I need talking to the wall there, but I forgot to unmute myself. Stephanie, go ahead, please.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. And this could burn a lot of time, so I'll make it brief. I think this is, as Teo says, this is a really complex matter. As I said, nothing precludes law enforcement under their own laws, charters, constitutions, from getting access to the data that is collected first by the registrars and their resellers and secondly by their registries. Nothing that we do should preclude that. However, that is quite different from setting up a disclosure mechanism whose purpose is to allow streamlined access for criminal and civil investigations. Those two are separate, and because many laws interfere with the creation of a publicly available mechanism for finding out data about individuals, not just privacy laws. I think that we have to keep this in mind. We certainly, as responsible stakeholders at ICANN, want to ensure that offenses get investigated, but it is the how that we are going to spend a great deal of time on, in my view. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. I put myself in the queue there as well. Just personally, you know, to reinforce what Theo's been saying, I mean, at this juncture, nobody is saying that certain things won't be allowed or permitted. I mean, the only things I think that we could probably agree on is that illegal whatever usage of data, if that's happening now, well, it shouldn't be happening. We're not going to design a policy that is, you know, spammer friendly or something. Anything beyond that isn't an issue. Bear in mind that this is behind the entire thing behind this entire discussion in the RDS is to come up with a replacement, a new system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's saying that, as others have said in different ways, that anything is going to be forbidden. We're just, you know, discussing some of the permutations of this, and as Stephanie rightly points out, it is far from straightforward. Okay, so I'll take myself out of the queue. Okay, then, so does anybody else have anything further on that particular point, or can we safely move on to the consistency with consensus policies bit? Okay, moving on to the next one. Should consistency with other consensus policies that pertain to GTLDs be a goal for each RDS purpose? A number of comments on that, but the bulk of people did agree with that as a general concept. Does anybody have any comments or anything they wish to add? Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Michele. Mark Anderson again for the transcript. Restates came up on the last call a little bit on the tail end, and then just sort of to echo, my comments. You know, I absolutely agree with the statement. This policy should be consistent with other consensus policies. To do otherwise, would create confusion and uncertainty as we exit this this PDP. So, absolutely our end result should be consistency. However, on the last call, and for those of you on that call, I apologize for restating this, but I want to make sure that our goal of consistency with other consensus policies doesn't unnecessarily constrain ourselves. So if we feel something from another consensus policy or another area needs to be revisited or changed, we shouldn't let that constrain ourselves. And that was sort of the point I made in my comments in last week. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa, over to you.
Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. I just want to share with you and everyone else that when the leadership team reviewed the answers to this particular question, noting that the level of support, while still a majority, was less than the others, we realized that several people made a note that other policies might be affected by this working group recommendations, and one person even noted that many of those consensus policies were developed with the current WHO is in mind. Should this group be looking at a new next-generation RDS, then, of course, there would be resulting recommended changes to policies. It may be necessary to actually rephrase this goal a little bit to reflect that, that this working group's policy recommendations might require some updates to the aspects of other policies that specifically relate to WHO is an RDS. If this working group's recommendations were to introduce inconsistencies with other policies, the way that would normally be handled would be in the implementation review team. They would be given direction to identify the updates that would be needed to other policies to maintain that alignment. For example, if there were new data elements or new terminology introduced, that would be taken care of as part of the implementation of an approved policy. So hopefully that helps put into context what would happen should there be some alignment needed with other policies that are directly related.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, anybody else have any comments or thoughts? Okay, perfect. Just one note on this material for the record, sorry. Some of the obvious thing with some of this is down to the fact that older policies refer to who is specifically and refer to who is specific items, whereas some of the newer contracts and policies use language which is much more flexible. It isn't as kind of tied to a specific system or process. Okay, then, moving on. Last one there. So, to provide a framework that enables compliance with applicable laws be a goal for each RDS purpose. And again, the majority, 88% of you, agreed with that. However, 12% of you, in other words, three people, didn't. So does anybody have any thoughts or comments or anything on that? I'll let Lisa go first and then Mark.
This is Lisa Pfeiffer. I would like to note that the couple of people that disagreed with this question weren't necessarily disagreeing that compliance should be facilitated, but that not all of the purposes are actually going to be related to applicable laws, that there are some general laws applicable that might not apply in certain cases. So one way to deal with that observation would be to add a footnote or something like that to the statement of purpose that acknowledges there may be some purposes that are not affected by law.
Right. There again, I'll go again, speaking to my phone all by myself. Michele again, sorry. Mark, go ahead.
Thank you, Michele. Mark Anderson for the transcript. I think Lisa kind of answered my question. Personally, I think this is a particularly important RDS purpose. I feel as though, we're within this PDP, we're unlikely to anticipate, every possible scenario. And so, for us, it's important to create a framework that, enables the implementers of RDS to be able to comply with applicable law. So personally, I think this is a very important goal. And so, I put my hand in the queue there to try and get the people that disagreed with that to provide a little more color on why they disagreed. But Lisa's comments made sense there. I thought that was helpful. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Yeah, just if you look at some of the comments, at the time that Kaylee's speaking for the record, you'll see that some of the people who kind of disagree, I think, might be disagreeing more with a specific choice of words as opposed to the spirit of the concept. So generally speaking, I don't think there's anybody actively disagreeing. Okay, then. I think we're done here. Any final comments or thoughts or queries or anything? No? Okay, perfect. I'm trying to work out where I am on this agenda. Start to scroll up. Okay. Right then. So we're now back to the draft here. Sorry, Stephanie, go ahead.
Stephanie Perrin for the record. Just a quick question, Michele. Is the leadership team finding these polls useful? And it's an honest question. I'm just wondering if it's helpful or are we going in circles? Because some of the questions are so hard to answer, as we did out in our discussion of the last one. Thanks.
That's a good question, Stephanie. How do I answer that? Okay, I can answer for myself. I'm not going to try to answer for Susan, David, or Chuck. I think, in some respects, I think it depends on the what we're asking about specifically. I think in the, when it comes to this particular exercise, the refinement of the statement of purpose, trying to go through each and every kind of comma and full stop and choice of word and everything else, in some respects, probably isn't helping us in the overall. I think that's what you're seeing to a degree in the kind of answers that we're getting back. Because the questions themselves are quite difficult, which I suppose is part of the reason why anything around who is or changes to it always causes headaches. So I think it's helpful even when it's not being helpful, which I know sounds terribly counterintuitive. But I suppose in some ways, because you're not getting clear answers on some of these things, that can actually help you, because you can kind of realize, well, okay, then it's, if it's as confusing or it's as difficult as we thought it was. I don't know if that helps you. Susan or David, maybe you want to jump in and totally disagree with me, which would be perfectly okay.
Wouldn't be the first time, Kaylee. This is Susan Calgucci for the record. I think the polls serve a purpose. And, you know, as Lisa indicated in the chat, you know, we're adding rough agreements to a document to be reviewed again later. So I think we're dealing with such a large issue that we have to just break it apart in pieces.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Mr. Deacon, good afternoon.
Good morning. So I probably should have asked this a few minutes ago, but I noticed in the comments to the poll several times someone asked, not sure it needs to apply to each purpose. So I guess I think that's a good question, assuming I understand the question. We've listed set of goals for each purpose. Is the assumption that each purpose must meet every one of those goals? I didn't think that was the case. I'm not too sure that could even be the case. But I just want to clarify as to what people have been assuming with regard to purposes and how or if or how much they meet the goals that we've outlined there in that document that's on the Adobe. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. Anybody have any thoughts? Okay. Right then. Sorry, Stephanie, go ahead.
Sorry, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I clicked the wrong button there for a second. This is probably not going to be construed as helpful, but I think that this is one of the fundamental flaws of approaching such broad policy questions from a multi-stakeholder perspective. I mean, I do hope that if the criminals showed up at ICANN and formed their own constituency and intervened on these matters, that we would not consider them a valid stakeholder group. Nevertheless, that point illustrates one of the flaws of the multi-stakeholder model. A group shows up, has a purpose. That does not necessarily make it a legitimate purpose for the data collection of the end users who we all ultimately serve and for whose benefit ICANN was established. I mean, it wasn't established just to regulate the land office business of sale of domain names. It also was established to serve end users. So I think our perspective on it is going to be fundamentally flawed, fundamentally different on that question, and it's an important point that Alex raises, and probably something that needs to be did along with the rough agreement that we reach. There are points of tension that we obviously reach in some of these questions, and I hope they're being noted as well, so that we can say, ah, yes, we ran into that a while ago. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Kelly, for the record, the criminal stakeholder group concept, it's an interesting one. Not something I'd actually laugh at for the simple reason that due to the nature of the way ICANN works, it's viable, it's almost viable. It would make things quite interesting. In another community that I'm involved with, how can I word this genteelly, somebody who themselves personally and their employer, or maybe they actually own the business, but make their money from DNS abuse, actively engaged in quite weird discussion with an anti-abuse working group. It was quite interesting. And eventually they overstepped the line and got removed, but it was still quite an interesting and weird experience. Okay, then, moving back to this. The draft purpose document. I suppose the one way of approaching this, and I think this is something that we did discuss a little bit in the leadership group, trying to go through every single line in this, line by line by line, and kind of discussing each and every angle of things, we could take a rather long time and probably wouldn't actually advance us too much. So I suppose in some respects, looking at this more at a kind of a high level in terms of, are there any things in here that people disagree with violently, if they could flag them, and also to specify exactly what they are, rather than trying to go through each and every single one. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, McKelly. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. One of the reasons that we circled back to looking at the statement of purpose was actually where we had gotten to when we were deliberating on the charter question of privacy. We had a couple of weeks of trying to ground ourselves in what data protection laws mean when they refer to the purpose of collection, the purpose of access, the purpose of processing. So that led us to, if you recall, a couple of poll questions about whether we needed to develop a statement of purpose. And now we're back to the draft that we had previously created, I think, last September. So as we revisit this, it might be helpful to think about those data protection concepts and whether this statement of purpose actually supports the those concepts, and that is, if it covers the aspects that a good statement of purpose should include, and if there's anything here that would not make it, I don't know how to say this, but pass muster as a statement of purpose from a data protection law perspective. And maybe those who are data protection experts in the group can comment on that.
Thanks, Lisa. Stephanie, I'm going to pick on you. In the first instance.
Stephanie Perrin, sorry, can you run the question one more time, Michele?
Okay, sorry. I didn't actually ask the direct question. I was asking you to answer the question that Lisa had posed. So the question is...
Which is, again?
Does the draft statement align with the concepts requirement of concepts and requirements for data protection that have already been discussed? So is there anything in here, I mean, put another way, from a data protection, data privacy perspective, is there anything here that you find completely abhorrent? And if so, what is it and why?
Okay, so hang on while I enlarge everything because I'm having a problem reading it. Okay, so definitely no problem with about the life cycle of the domain name. An authoritative source of information about domain contacts, domain names, and name servers for GTLDs, not a problem. Identify domain contacts and facilitate communication, not a problem, providing that the use of facilitate is moderated. In other words, that doesn't mean, facilitate does not mean open access, right? Provide a record of domain name registrations. Yep, that's a good one. And to promote the accuracy, generally speaking, yes, it's the implementation of that that becomes a problem because according to most data protection law, the information needs to be as accurate as necessary for the purpose. And so continually refreshing data so that it's accurate for secondary purposes is not a legitimate activity.
Okay, Stephanie, it's Michele, just interrupting you slightly. I don't disagree with you. But just without going into secondaries and tertiaries and all that kind of thing, can we agree that the concept of accurate data isn't a problem from a data protection or privacy perspective at a high level?
Absolutely. And indeed, yeah, at a high level, all data protection law says data should be accurate. You don't want it to be inaccurate. That's where your criminal element starts, you know. Doing identity theft and all the rest of it.
Okay, perfect. No,
so we agree.
No, that's fine. We agree then. Okay, good. So based on that, we can all go home now. No, sorry, I'm joking. I know once we get into the finer details, the implementation and all of that, but this is meant to be the statement of purposes, which is meant to be at a higher level. So you're happy enough with that. You don't have a massive issue with this. Okay, fine. All right, then. Does anybody else have any questions or issues with what we have at the moment? Now, bearing in mind this is a statement of purpose, it's high level, we're not getting into weeds or anything else about the actual implementation, just at a high level. Does anybody have any issues with what we have? Theo? Susan? Anybody? Okay. Lisa, please, go ahead.
No comments from you, Michele.
Thank you, Theo.
So asking your question in a slightly different way, Michele, this is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. Now, if we were to poll on this statement of purpose as you see it in front of you, would everyone be supporting this statement of purpose? And if not, what objections would you be raising?
And objecting to the choice of font color is not a valid objection, just for the record. Okay, interesting. Nobody has any objections? Everybody's happy with this? Okay, so let's use the quote-unquote path. Oh, hold on. We have somebody. Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Michele. Mark Anderson for the record. I just want to echo what Lisa Pfeiffer put in chat. I don't see anything here that I have, you know, heartburn or objection to. I guess I would want a little more time to see. I don't know that this is complete, though. So nothing here is causing me concern. But you know, are there other elements that we might consider? And that, I guess, I feel like I would need a little bit more time to answer that question. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Deacon.
Thank you, Michele. Alex Deacon for the record. I think another question we need to clarify, at least for me, is understanding if these are primary or not. I know we discussed that briefly earlier, but my assumption is that these are all primary. That's a question. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Just using the online kind of agree, disagree, you know, basic, the very kind of rudimentary polling that exists within the within Adobe Connect, just to take a kind of very rough kind of sense of people's feelings. If you could just, you know, signal whether you are supportive of what's there at the moment, just what's there, if you don't have an issue with what's there. And I'm going to work on the basis that if you don't support it or disagree with it, that you just haven't worked out how to use them, how to vote on this or something. I don't know. I'm going to assume that you don't care one way or the other or something. I'll make some kind of dangerous assumption anyway. Just for those who aren't on Adobe Connect, somebody was asking whether Stephanie, whether there were any elements missing, and what she pointed out was that the DPS will likely ask the question, how does a registrant get access to their personal data, given the current environment of resellers, ISPs, credit registrars, et cetera, but she put notes that is an implementation issue and doesn't belong in the statement of purpose. Lisa is also reminding you that you can use the disagree if you do not support any portions of the current draft statement. So several people have not expressed any either support or lack or disagreement. And I'm confusing the ICANN staffers from other people. So Javi, please, go ahead.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, thank you. This is Jabba Boss for the record speaking. On the question whether these purposes may raise concerns from a data protection perspective, I would hesitate to answer with a clear yes or no at this time, but I would consider that there might be issues from at least from a European Union data protection law perspective, that there might be issues with how specific these purposes are. As you know, there are some requirements as regards specificity and how explicit purposes should be for the processing of personal data. Some of the issues might come from the fact that in the exercise that have led to the development of these purposes, we have taken together purposes for both the RDS, for the services, and for the processing of registration data, which I suppose may have complicated things. So to sum up, I can say yes or no at this point in time, but I think we should carefully review it from a data protection perspective, which we have not done before, and then take into account the requirements that European Union legislation sets on the specificity of purposes for the processing of personal data. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Michele, for the record, just noting a couple of things that Lisa put in the chat and just connecting this back to what we were discussing at the first part of today's meeting. Lisa's saying possibly we could ask the data protection people in Copenhagen for guidance on how specific the purposes must be. So do we think that there's a way of framing that as a specific question to them? And if so, you know, what would that question be? I'm not asking you to answer that immediately, but maybe that's something to look at. We have until the end of the week to do so. Vicky, please proceed.
Thanks. It's Vicky for the record. While I appreciate that the data commissioners are going to be here and to get their insight, I did read the GDPR this week, and there are several provisions that point to the local or the national authority where there may be further legislation. So just to caution that there's still a lot of guidance that needs to come out from the EU and each particular state if they choose to take advantage of any of the areas where they're allowed to legislate under that regulation. So you may want to keep that in mind. It may be premature to take the guidance that we hear as gospel. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just as a side note, as an Irish registrar, just the Irish Data Protection Commissioner, generally speaking, will not make statements on anything unless there's a specific issue and tends to support whatever Article 29 groups say. They tend to issue guidance when there are specific issues, but they aren't going to do something unless a specific issue arises. Stephanie and then Theo. Stephanie, please.
Yeah, I think, Stephanie Perrin for the record, I think everybody should be clear. They are not going to give legal opinions. They're not going to give determinations. They may well describe how the concept of purpose is interpreted, and there are documents in the Article 29 Working Group that do that. They may add some stuff on how the GDPR will be implemented in terms of enforcement, but if anybody thinks they're going to get up there and say anything more than they've already said in their letters to ICANN, and the last word we got from Buttarelli was that nothing has changed in the letters that the Article 29 group has been sending. So I think everybody should just go back and read what they've already sent and not expect to get further detail. It's unfair. They're not going to reply off the cuff in 10 minutes. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Theo.
Thanks, Michele, and this is Theo for the record. So we're going to get some guidance there maybe in Copenhagen that can help us forward. But how about this? And this is just what Vicky just mentioned. It's maybe not we shouldn't follow the gospel here, but what is the ultimate truth here? And with truth, I mean, we are creating an RDS. And a few years from now, that might be even a realization, and it might be even working. How would we feel about it that we come to the conclusion that we are still operating against a whole bunch of laws, maybe not especially EU ones, and we actually find ourselves in a situation that we are going to get that ICANN is going to get a fine, just hypothetically. I mean, that would actually be a point for us that we haven't done our jobs. How do we prevent such a situation there? And I know this is extremely complex, but I think it's mission critical for ICANN to make sure that we are not going to have any issues here down the road. So how can we turn gospel into facts? Thank you.
Thanks, Theo. Okay, then. Anybody else on this particular topic? I assume, Vicky, that's an old hand, so I'm going to ignore it unless you speak up. Okay. Just as an action item based on the discussions we've had so far today, we're going to, I think what we'll probably end up doing is taking on board a couple of things. First off, we will probably poll you all informally on the overall purpose statement, statement of purposes. Actually, can somebody please tell me, is it going to be statement of purpose or statement of purposes? It's going to drive me nuts. Not a big deal, but I'd like to know at some point. Set of purpose, thank you. Secondly, we are very conscious of the fact that we need to take advantage of the opportunities as they present them, and make use of what we are given with respect to the way to protect people. I'm getting some weird sounds here. I don't know what's going on. So has somebody left their mic open? If you have, could you please mute it? Okay, then. With respect to the thing here. Okay, then. So, in moving past this with the statement of purpose, which contains purposes, thank you, Lisa, for untangling that for me. Okay, then. So, during the next meeting we have is next Tuesday, 7th of March, same time as normal. Then during the ICANN meeting in Copenhagen, we have a couple of sessions. We have our face-to-face on Saturday, the 11th of March, between 1:45 and 4:45. And then we have a wrap-up on the Wednesday between 1:45 and 3 p.m. Now, there's also, of course, several other sessions that are being held throughout the week on topics that are pertinent to the work of this working group. So I'm sure there's quite a few sessions that people will be able to attend or should be looking at attending. Now, due to the way the schedule has panned out, I know that there are conflicts for some people. Unfortunately, those are unavoidable. So just try to attend the meetings that you can, and, you know, just do as best you can. Stephanie, please go ahead.
Sorry, that was an old hand, Michele.
Oh, okay. I must be blind. Alex, go ahead.
Thanks, Michele. Alex Deakin. So because the meeting in Copenhagen does overlap with the PPSAI implementation review team, one of the things we discussed for those of us who are also on that team this morning was that when the agenda, there'll be, time slots, and they'll try hard to stick to the times for a specific topic. Hopefully, this group, when it does finalize the agenda for Copenhagen, can do the same. So we can jump back and forth depending on, the topic. I think that would be helpful. I know it's almost impossible to coordinate 100%, but just anything we could do to make that a little bit more easy would be great. Thank you.
Noted. Thanks. Alex, do you or anybody else who's active in the PPSAI implementation group, has that group finalized anything yet in terms of their activity? yet, or do we, I mean, is that still kind of pending, or how is that?
No, it's still, this is Alex. You know, we're still in the beginning of it. I think we're making progress. We have an early draft of documents and agreements on, but there's still a lot of work to do. We also have a plan, which so far is so good, but you know how things are. So, yeah, still early days, I guess, is the answer to that.
Thanks. Actually, well, I phrased my question badly. You were asking, and it's not unreasonable, but this group provides some kind of schedule for its activities during the collision in Copenhagen so that people can choose to prioritize which session they attend.
Right.
Has that other group done similar yet, or do they plan to? Do you know?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that hasn't happened yet. I think Amy has the action from ICANN staff to put that together, and I'm assuming some coordination can happen between us and Amy.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, no, my question was unclear, but the update on that group is helpful because I'm meant to be there, but haven't been able to attend it because hashtag real day job. Hashtag moving house, hashtag lots of other things. Okay, right then. Is there anything else that I've overlooked that we're meant to be covering today? Or shall I give you back a little bit of your evening, morning, afternoon, whatever time of the day it is, wherever you are? Lisa, have I missed anything? Marika, do you want to add anything? Just in case, for those of you who may or may not know, the ICANN policy team has will be doing a pre-Copenhagen policy update, which will be running. There are two sessions, one at 10 a.m. UTC and the other at, I believe it's 7 p.m. UTC, though I probably got the time wrong, and feel free to kill me. And if you want to sign up for either session, there are details on the ICANN website. This can be helpful to bring people up to speed on what's going on in the kind of the entire landscape of ICANN policy development and everything else. Not sure there's anything else logistics-wise. So we will speak to you all next week, and I'll give you back a few minutes of your evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Michaeli.
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thank you again. The meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop our recording.